Welcome to Bob Cargill's Marketing Show, a ridiculously awesome podcast bursting with insightful commentaries and intriguing conversations on the topics and issues that are on the minds of marketers, advertisers, social media, and PR professionals today.
Hey, everybody, this is Bob Cargill from Bob Cargill's Marketing Show, and I am again coming to you from Hudson's out of office, a ridiculously awesome co-working space where I hang from time to time, get some work done here, and I meet a lot of great people. And someone I met recently, but not here at out of office, is Kate Sweeker. And Kate works at Avidia Bank, and she does a lot of social media, just like myself. And that's who we're going to talk to today, folks. Yes, you're going to get to know all about Kate, what she does at Avidia Bank, what she does on her own with regard to social media and marketing. So first of all, I just want to say hello, Kate. Thanks for being here. And tell our audience all about yourself.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me today. Super excited to be here. I've been with Avidia Bank for about 4 years now. Worked my way up from being our marketing specialist into being our social media manager and brand communications manager. So had a lot of great experiences there. You may have seen me quite a bit on Twitter and Instagram at BankSmartKate. And we actually were just talking about this a few minutes ago about our brand ambassador team at Avidia Bank. So we have quite a few of us out there that use social media to spread what we're doing at the bank and share what's happening in the community. So excited to talk more about that today.
So Bank Smart Kate, you know, I knew Bank Smart Kate before I knew Kate Sweeker, because I saw Bank Smart Kate, that's Kate's folks, that's her Twitter handle, and I know we connected somehow, or I noticed you on Twitter, and then I remember, lo and behold, it was last August or September, I ran into you at a marketing conference in Boston. I think I made a point of talking to you and getting to know you, and we've stayed in touch since, and we've realized, certainly I have, that our lives have, our paths have crossed, whether we knew it or not, many times. We both have leadership Metro West in our background. Am I correct? And I'm digressing right off the bat here, but am I right that you have?
Yeah, I was a 2018 graduate of Leadership Metro West, and I'm sitting on their board of directors right now. So
oh my God.
I really love it.
Little did I know. I did not know you're on the board of directors.
Yeah.
Think of, I'm telling you, just aside from the 30-plus year difference in our ages, I'm probably twice your age or so, but who's counting? Age is just a number. Besides age, I mean, we have so much in common. I am class of 91, 92, something like that, 93. Leadership Metro West, and folks, Leadership Metro West, outstanding leadership organization. Is it Metro West Chamber of Commerce affiliated, or is it totally separate from the Chamber?
I believe it's a separate organization from the Chamber, although supported by them. A lot of people in the area do support it, which is great. And there's quite a bit of towns in the area. It's not just Framingham and Natick, but there's quite a few people from different towns who participate, which is pretty neat.
And Helen Lemoyne, am I right?
Helen, yep. She's the director.
She is amazing. Helen, I knew way back. I think she was the class after me or the class before me, but I met her years ago. So we have that in common. And absolutely, we have social media in common, and we, I think, live, work in the same geographic area. So it's only natural that you are a guest on my 61st or so podcast. And I'm excited, and I thank you for being here out of office in Hudson, in my makeshift office, if you will, my office away from my home office. I got a question about social media. We'll just plunge right into it. What is the process there at Avidia Bank? I am very impressed always when I see any of the social media put out by Avidia Bank. It seems to be positive, refreshing, transparent, friendly. I could go on and on. Is that part of your internal strategy? How do you guys, what's your day-to-day?
Yeah, that's exactly what we go for. So I'm glad that other people are seeing that, which is awesome. So I would say, you know, a lot of it's just showcasing who we are. We're a community bank, and we're based here in Central Mass and Metro West. So we want to showcase everything that's happening in our communities. A lot of it comes with some of the events that we're working with. Some of them might be festivals or charity events or 5Ks that we're sponsoring. And then also showcasing our employees, right? They're the biggest part of us, and you know, we would be nothing without them. So I think that's something that we like to show off and show what they do in the community, and some of the behind the scenes, because I know that a lot of people want to know what happens behind the teller line. So we like to show that off a little bit in our social media.
And organic, so, you know, I'm going to, some of these will be high level questions, some of them will be granular, but organic social media, we know, you know, I know, Avidia Bank, I'm sure, has experienced it. Organic reach isn't what it used to be. So how do you get the, how do you make sure, say on Facebook especially, but Twitter and anywhere else you guys are active, how do you make sure the audience is seeing your messages? Do you blend in some paid with the organic? Do you use, you boost your posts on Facebook? Do you use advertising? Is that a big part of it, or is it, tell me that mix, the sure. organic paid mix.
Yeah, so it's definitely a challenge, and we definitely noticed some big drops over the last couple of years on organic versus paid and just our reach in general. So there's a couple different things that we use to make sure that we're boosting everything as much as we can. So some of that is paid. So if we really want people to see something, we might boost a post. We've done some paid campaigns as well. We recently built a new location in Framingham, so we wanted to make sure that the Framingham market got to know us really well. So that was important for us to, you know, put an entire campaign behind that was paid. But additionally, our employees do a lot to support our social media efforts as well, and we encourage them to share our posts for things that are going on. I know that our head of retail, and if you want to follow her, she's at BankSmartCarry. Our head of retail makes sure that, you know, it's one of their incentives to actually share what they're doing in the branches and some of the promotions and things that we're putting on. And that's something that we also have been able to, I don't want to say, but really game the system for Facebook, trying to drop your engagement rates. So
it's the way to do
works,
it.
Right?
It's the way to do it, Bank Smart Kate. No, I mean, seriously, you know, I'm on my own the last 2 years as an independent consultant, social media, copywriting, marketing. But when I was in-house, and this is still what I preach to my clients, employee advocacy. I try to tell clients, get your employees to retweet and share and provide them with content even, meaning, hey, we're tweeting this today. Here's the tweet already written for you. If you agree, if you're okay sharing a little business on your personal accounts, share it. And yeah, game the system, whatever we want to call it. You know, there are paid products, technologies that actually can do this for you. I'm not necessarily advocating on behalf of them, meaning, you know, automation tools and scalability tools. I think do it organically within the company, employee advocacy, and ideally crowdsourcing, you know, getting your brand ambassadors genuinely winning over your fans and your customers so that they're doing it for you too.
Yeah, I mean, that content is so valuable, and it's one of those things that's a really nice earned content when you can get it from your customers, which is really hard as a bank to get. Most people love to review, you know, restaurants and share content and check in at the restaurant. Nobody's really checking in at the bank, but we do want to encourage that. So when we do get that earned content from our customers and they come in and they snap a selfie in front of our selfie wall, that's something that we really love and we really enjoy.
So Kate Sweeka is living up to her name, her Twitter handle, Bank Smart Kate, because she's talking about earned content. And I don't know if all of my listeners know about earned content, but there's three kinds of content: paid, owned, and earned. Mm-hmm. And paid, we're covering all three, right, pretty quickly in this conversation. Paid is if you're boosting your post that you write and share and put out there, that's your owned. But your earned is really valuable, because if you can, your earned is what other people are resharing. So say after this podcast, I put it up, that's my own content. I say, hey, I just had a great talk with Kate from Avidia Bank. If she then retweets it, that's kind of earned, mm-hmm. although you kind of, yeah, and it's an advocacy. We're helping each other out by sharing the podcast, and if I pay to boost it, that's the paid part. But I think that earned part is underestimated in social media circles. What do you think in terms of?
I agree, because it's the hardest thing to achieve, and it's one of those things where if you're you know, looking for some earned content and you're, you know, putting things out there and hoping people are going to respond to it, sometimes it doesn't work, and that's why people don't invest a lot of time into it. But it is the most valuable, and that's your word of mouth. And that's where social media is really powerful, because it is that word of mouth. And people go to social media to get recommendations for where they're going to go for a weekend trip, where they're going to go for a restaurant, you know, and even for banking, you know, people say, I'm looking for a new bank. Where do I go? And that's earned media that you're always looking for.
So you mentioned, and I didn't follow up right away because I wanted to talk about the earned, owned, paid thing, but banking in general, You are absolutely correct. I would think it's one, no offense, but one of the last types of businesses that people would want to friend, if you will, interact with. So that's the consumer hat. Mm-hmm. Me as a consumer saying, why would I want to talk to a bank? On the other hand, hey, I'm just like you. I'm doing this for a living, and that would be our job, and that literally is your job to get the bank to talk to the, get the customers to talk to you. That's a big challenge. It's not like I'm working for a restaurant or a rock band or you know, the New England Patriots. I'm a bank. How do you make a bank interesting, friendly, approachable, and I'm not a customer. What if I, and I know I could be, and maybe I should be. How would you get my attention without scaring me away? Do you know what I mean? If you don't mind me being so blunt, you know, I might not want to talk. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a huge challenge. So, I mean, obviously every other bank, I mean, we're in Massachusetts here too. So there's a bank and a Dunkin' Donuts and CVS in every corner. But I mean, we have a lot of competition out there and a lot of people just look for the rates. That's where they want to go. Or they bank places that were in their hometown or where mom and dad had their bank and they just have continued to bank there forever. But I think one of the biggest things for us is just trying to show people who we are. People want to do business with businesses that align with, you know, social responsibility, supporting their local community. So that's the way that we get people, and we actually showcase a lot of who we are. And we have a little bit of humor with it, too. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, there was, you know, some of the memes that people were putting out there, like, be like Bill. Bill likes this, and do that kind of thing. So we actually made our own be like Bill and be like Jill memes. And we had a lot of our customers actually share them and said, my bank actually has a sense of humor, and I enjoy that. And that was, you know, some of the things that I say for social media is you need to do two things on social media. One of them is to make sure that you're entertaining or you're educating. And you can do both, too. But either or should be the two ways that you're looking at. And I really stay away from the actual selling part of social media because, especially on the side for banking, you know, everybody knows what we have as a bank. They know that we have checking accounts. They know that we have loans. We, you know, banks might offer commercial loans and things like that. But they already know what we have. We don't need to tell them that. It's already in our name.
So I, you know, you're somewhat preaching to the choir because we both do the same thing. So I'm throwing you these questions as though I can't anticipate your answer. Your answer is perfect. I agree with you is what I'm saying. But I want to play to our audience, if you will,
sure.
Because I'm assuming not everyone in our audience understands the nuances of social media. And you pointed out the no selling thing, meaning we can't be salesy in social media. We know that. But so playing devil's advocate, though, continuing to. What I mean is if I were you, I'd be saying, why is he asking me these questions? They're kind of challenging, but that's my job as host. Because if I was your boss, I'd say, okay, Kate just said we can't be salesy, but I need numbers. I need metrics. I can't just be having my employees spend all this time and money putting fun, friendly, entertaining, especially educating is good, tweets out there if it's not gaining business. So how do you prove, because I know, I do social media for companies myself. It's the hardest thing is to sell them on the value of social media. How do you sell that value? How do you prove that it's working to your boss?
So I think the biggest thing that comes up, and this is a huge question, right? So what's the ROI of social media?
Yes.
And, you know, I think one of the things that I run into a lot is, you know, what's the ROI of picking up a phone every day? You know, you're going to answer the phone, you're going to talk to somebody. And that could be a sale in and of itself, but you're probably answering a question, you're probably educating people, maybe entertaining them. But, you know, that's really where it comes into is that there's actually more of a cost if you're not on there because you miss a lot of the opportunities, the conversations that people might be having about you. You miss the opportunities for that earned media. So I think that's where that kind of ROI comes in for me. In terms of being entertaining and educating and really not being too salesy, I mean, the power of social media is that people will continue to remember you because of things that you do. So if you are entertaining, if you are educating them, you know, they're going to remember you and you're going to have that nice top of mind awareness with them all the time. Versus if you're not there, then they may not recommend you. Like, let's talk about a bank. They may not recommend you right off the bat because you're not coming to mind. And we know that most people bank at 2 to 3 different places. So they might recommend somewhere else because they just saw a post from them or they just got an email in their inbox from them.
So I totally agree with you. I'm going to follow up with, do you have a way of showing to senior management, if you will, do you have a way of tracking visits to the website, or anecdotally, do you get testimonials from customers that say, hey, I saw a tweet that drove me to this business and they actually opened up a checking account? Do you know what I mean? Or
yeah.
Maybe you're not, and I think it's great if you're not necessarily held accountable at that level, because I agree with you. Social media is the value, the ROI is like picking up the phone or talking to somebody at the water cooler. It's engagement. It's how we engage with people today. But I'm just curious if there's any kind of hard numbers behind what you do, any kind of data.
Yeah, so we definitely, if we're going to run a campaign, for example, and I just mentioned Framingham and opening doors there, we put out some account specials there. We could actually attribute people coming in through social media.
Nice.
And then opening an account with us. We do put some tracking on our social media as well to see who's clicking from, let's say, a Facebook post into our website, and we'll have like a specialized UTM just so we know who's coming in from what area. So that helps us as well, although clicks don't always mean that people are, buying or opening an account with us, but we know that we're getting some interest, so that's important.
Love that. The UTM codes, yes, I've done those, and you can therefore attribute visits to a website to your particular content on Twitter or Facebook or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
You can say this is coming from Twitter, and we drove them to a certain landing page, and voila, they opened up a checking account. Ideally, that's
right.
How it would work in the business sales world. But again, social media kind of touches. It's not just it's only part sales. It's, as you said, it's more entertainment and education and PR and news, and because we're courting our audiences, our target audiences. Would you agree? We're kind of just trying to interact with them a little, and hopefully it's top of the funnel, I think, to use a marketing term, and we draw them in, ideally, and then there are other reasons they might end up doing business with us. Am I articulating that?
Yeah, I mean, there's many touches to get somebody to come in and be a customer and convert, and then obviously you want to retain them, so social media is a great tool for retention as well. And then, as I mentioned, that top-of-mind awareness, us in the banking industry, we heavily rely upon referrals for business, and that's one of the best ways for us to get it is right through social media.
This is terrific. So Kay just pointed out, so I'm saying just top of the funnel, at least that's what I was saying, but she's right. It's also used to retain once you've converted them to a customer. It helps you maintain that relationship with them and even further advance your reputation in their eyes and minds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me, how do you look at other banks, and do you look at the competition and compare, and is there anything, maybe without naming names, I won't, but that you could say about the competition? Who's the best out there?
Oh, goodness. So there's, I would say Eastern Bank is probably a big one that's out there. I love their stuff. They're big in the social responsibility space for sure, too, and that's really where they tout it. I follow a lot of the things that other banks are doing, small and large.
Yep.
Definitely note when some of them make a misstep, which is always an opportunity for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
If we see that something's happening, then we're able to monitor, especially when customers complain onto another bank's page and we see, oh, there's an issue here. Maybe we have a business opportunity, because at that moment, that's when somebody's going to consider moving banks when they have a bad experience with their current bank or credit union. I have seen some banks and credit unions that have posted things that probably they shouldn't, or they share things that only do it to get some more vanity metrics. So a lot of people will say, like, oh, I just want to get a bunch of likes on my page, but I don't really care who's following. But that's not really important, because now you're pushing out messages to people that may not even be relevant in your area. So it's really a vanity metric. And there's one in particular, and I won't name them, but they post a lot of pictures of cats and dogs, which is really great. Everybody loves cats and dogs and babies on social media, and that's what they want to see. But the thing is, at the end of the day, that doesn't really align with your brand and what
Correct.
You're trying to do and accomplish. So, you might have an amazing engagement rate on your social media, and you might get some more likes out of it. But at the same time, you're probably only getting some people that are just liking it because
it's a cat or a dog.
It's a cat or a dog, and it's cute, you know?
So Kate makes a great point, the vanity metrics. I mean, what I like is we're both on the same page in terms of, there's a blend of, yes, you want to interact with people and put a smile on your face and a face on your brand. That's one of my things,
Love
how
that.
I put it. But not to the extent where you just – spending time chit-chatting with people that, you know, that aren't even potential customers. You want to make sure you're talking to the right people, and in most cases about something related to the bank or the community in which the bank resides, if you will. And I know that Avidia Bank does a lot in the community. How do you do that? What specifically do you do in the community? How do you tie that back to your social media?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously being a bank, everybody thinks we have all the money in the vault. I'll tell you, it's not that impressive. There's no, you know, Scrooge McDuck diving into the coin vault at all. But, you know, everybody always looks to us and says, okay, what can you donate to the community, right? And everybody wants the big check. So we want to make sure we go above and beyond just showing up with a big check picture, which is great. And, you know, it's great to get the money, and a lot of the different organizations that we support, they're excited to grab that nice grant. But at the end of the day, we also make sure that we share them and support about who they are and what they're trying to accomplish with this money on social media. So a lot of our posts will be, hey, we supported the Boys and Girls Club. This is what the money is actually going to. And we'll tag them and share their website, or maybe share a link to the project that the money's going towards, so that people may follow them on social media. They'll get to know them a little bit better. They'll know what the project is all about. And maybe they'll even support them and donate themselves too. So that's something that we always are looking to accomplish, and going a little bit further with that. We have a lot of employees who also volunteer in the community a lot, and participate in a lot of community events and support various charities through 5Ks and things like that. So we always try to share that as well. So that's another layer that we add onto the social media.
I told you before we started this program that I have been to your Framingham branch, and Jeremy was awesome there in terms of his friendliness, and he welcomed me. It was a Leadership Metro West event, and the bank was really impressive in terms of the environment. And I could, again, every touch, as you said, there's multiple touches involved in a sale, and maybe I will be a sale someday. every touch has been very positive and very friendly. So also, whoever's doing the hiring there at Avidia Bank, there must be something in the culture, the corporate culture, that it's important to be engaging, friendly, positive. It should be that way everywhere, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah.
What about, you know, and this is granular, but automation versus real-time, you know, scheduling of content versus just doing it in real time. How do you manage that? Are there any tools you can talk about that you use to schedule? I don't even know if you do schedule. I assume you do, but, you know, I've done this, you know, myself for a living. I do it now for a living, and I absolutely believe in some scheduling, but, you know, I think real time is where you're going to get the most bang for your buck. But tell me about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so we do a lot of scheduling through Hootsuite. We use that tool for all of our channels, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. It's really helpful. I usually only schedule about a week or two out for the most part, just because you never know what could happen. Mm-hmm. I do try to space things out a little bit as well, so that it's not just a bunch of posts all at once. But making sure that, you know, for example, if we're coming up to a holiday, for example, and we're going to be closed, the branch is going to be closed, we'll schedule that out pretty far in advance. But otherwise, I just try to post about a week or two in advance for things that are going on, maybe upcoming events. But I also have a policy in place that should anything happen, and of course we live in a world where, you know, news travels fast, mm-hmm. especially on social media, and that there's a lot of support for brands to make sure that they're saying the right things and supporting the right things when they're posting. So, you know, if there's an incident or something that's going on, we make sure that we look at our posts and do a quick audit and make sure that we don't have anything that's going out that might be inappropriate. We've heard some nightmare stories of people
yes.
sharing things during natural disasters when they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. They should be turning off their Twitter scheduled tweets mm-hmm. and things like that. So we try to stay away from that and just make sure that we have that policy in place, so we're always examining what's happening.
Do you, and pardon my naivete about your role, do you oversee all, is there someone else, what's your team look like in terms of social media? How many branches do you handle? How many branches are there in total?
Sure.
How's the whole structure work?
So we have 10 branches right now, and right now it's basically just me managing the brand page for Avidia Bank. So I do have two people that back up for me when I'm on vacation or not available. But, yeah, so we have just myself primarily handling a lot
gotcha.
Of the content. And then our brand ambassadors will actually put out their own content. So we want them to have their own voice on social media.
And that's your other employees whose job is not necessarily social media, but they do some of it. They
yeah.
amplify your messages.
Absolutely.
So 10 branches total, but it's one channel. You don't have individual branch channels or accounts, should I say?
Yeah, just one
gotcha.
Channel.
Yep. Have you thought, so how do you handle that, let's say, if each, you know, 5 years from now, have you thought of each branch maybe having its own handle? Do you think the audience would support that? And there's enough of an audience, if you know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been, you know, each of our communities are unique. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would, you know, love to see that and love to see what's going on specifically in their branch. And we have, you know, heard in the past at the bank, you know, obviously we're headquartered in Hudson.
Yep.
And we have 3 locations in Hudson. So we do heavily highlight a lot of things
yep.
in the town. So a lot of people said, well, what about my town? Why don't I get highlighted more often? So we want to make sure that we're spreading the love to everyone, but that
yep.
might be a good way for us to do it in the future and have each, you know, branch have their own channel going forward.
It's obviously more work. And again, doing this myself for clients, I know that's sometimes a question. I mean, I do audits or strategy, you know, strategic plans, and they'll say, I'm making this up, but let's say there's 10 ice cream stores, you know, one parent company, and they want to know, should the parent company have just the one account, or does each ice cream store have their own accounts? And I'll say, well, if you have to think scale, is it worth it, in other words, to do the separate channels, separate accounts for each branch?
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys do an amazing job, and I've noticed that before I even met you in person. I think you guys do all ridiculously awesome, and it's a lot of credit to you.
Thank you.
So let's talk social media still, but I want to ask you some random questions, if you will. What about your own personal social media? Do you have a personal brand, if you will? Do you separate that from BankSmart, Kate? How do you operate yourself on social media, and on which channels?
Yeah, so I do have my own separate social media. You know, it's just something I actually had before I even came to the bank. Just created a separate handle, just BankSmart Kate, for professional use. But yeah, I have my own separate Twitter and separate Instagram. A lot of places where I share, you know, things that I'm doing at home or things that I'm, you know, places I'm traveling to, things like that. That is just pretty much for family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that everybody who's following me on BankSmart Kate aren't my friends, because
yep,
they are
yep,
too.
Of course.
But you know, some of that's, you know, more of my personal side, and that's
mm-hmm.
where I would like to keep it. It's also probably where I might share a tweet if I'm, you know, finding out why my JetBlue flight is delayed. But and that is a positive thing. JetBlue is super awesome.
Yes, they are.
On
yes, they are. They'll get right back to you.
Oh yeah, and I always compliment them. I said, hey, I'm a social media manager. I totally appreciate what you're doing.
Yep.
And I just wanted to know. So
yep.
sometimes that's where you find the best information.
No, you and I, those of us who work in social media, know that that's the best and easiest way to get the attention of a brand. You know, JetBlue, and I'm sure Avidia Bank, because the social media teams, I'm biased, are on the ball. They will respond right away. And sometimes, you know, to be frank, no matter which company you're calling, getting through by phone might be harder. But on Twitter, often that's the way to do it if you need customer service. How would you look at where social media has – how would you describe where social media has been, where it is now, and where it's going? In other words, so I asked you, you know, do you think there'll be enough of an audience for each branch to have its own account? Do you think social media is going to get bigger, more prevalent? Do you think it's the only way we're going to be communicating in the future? Do you think any one channel is going to take off or die? Any thoughts? I mean, this is very high level, from out of the blue, I realize, but what changes have you seen so far, and where do you think it's going?
Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier about the paid space. I think from the brand standpoint, you're going to see a lot more paid competition out there. I mean, we're already competing like crazy in social media, and we get slammed with so many brand messages throughout the day. So, you know, I think the brand, the paid brand space is definitely going to be on the growth horizon there. One of the other things that I think you're going to see a lot more of is brands going out to social media and using it for customer service. So we just talked about that with JetBlue and you know, tweeting to different people and getting responses. A lot more people are coming to social media to ask a question, to get servicing for their accounts, and they're having that expectation because we're all starting to move that way. And, you know, it's not actually age-restrictive either, because we've had actually a lot of people, even at the bank, people say, well, it's just the millennials who are complaining on Facebook. But actually, it's mostly people who are 55 plus. Yeah, yeah. And that's my number one, that's my number one person that I'll converse with on social media from the brand. So that's something that I note and we track.
Yep. Fascinating. So following up, what do you see in terms of the future? Anything specific, anything concrete in terms of, you know, I don't know, live video or, you know, any particular channel? Do you think Twitter's going to survive? Do you think, you know, Facebook is going to be the number one channel forever? Or do you think some new channel is going to surface that we can't even imagine right now?
Yeah, I bet there'll be some new channels coming out there. I mean, everybody's talking about VR. I bet there'll be something that you know, comes in with VR. I don't know what that would look like in the future, but I know it's something that's becoming more popular. You know, Twitter, I don't know if they'll survive or not. That's always been questionable, but they've survived this far, so I'm not really sure.
I love Twitter.
I do, too.
It's my favorite.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And actually, Instagram's a close favorite for me, too, and I think you know, Instagram bringing on board things like the Instagram Stories feature, that's been really huge for them as well.
Yes.
And, you know, Snapchat has tried to imitate that as well. So I think you're seeing a lot more of these little snippets of video and pictures that people want to share throughout the day. And people just want to be really visual. So I think that's something that you're going to see in the future, too.
Visual content. I think live video, it already is very, very big. But I think more and more in the future. Podcasts like we're doing right now.
Absolutely.
So audio content, I think, is becoming really big.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see you having your own podcast at Avidia Bank.
That'd be pretty awesome. I've been asking for years, but I just never get the
let's make it
get
happen.
The time.
I think this hopefully is one step in that direction because you have some great answers and you're extremely well conversant in social media, and I can see why the bank entrusts you to manage it from the top. I mean, that is awesome. Just a couple more questions and we can wind down. Any brands or people outside of banking, you know, I guess it could be in banking if you want, but that you personally think are crushing it on social media that you admire, respect, laugh at, are entertained by, etc. Do you know what I mean? What's your go-to social media?
Yeah, there's a bunch. I did mention JetBlue. I love them. I think they do a fantastic job. You know, Dunkin's is always one that does a great job as well, and they're out there. And obviously, they just had to deal with their name change, which has been a challenge for them. You know, there's quite a few, obviously, sports teams that I love to follow. You know, being here in Massachusetts, there's plenty to choose from.
Yep.
You know, there's also, it's funny, we actually talked about this before the show here, but, you know, with the marathon coming up, I love all the sneakers that are getting released.
Yes.
And I've been following all the different brands like Saucony and Brooks and the way that they kind of tease out how the specialty sneakers are going to be revealed. That is one of my favorite moments every year. So it's something I look forward to.
I forgot to mention we also have running in common. Have you run a marathon before?
I've run one.
Yes.
One marathon. So, not Boston, unfortunately, but maybe one
Kate's
day.
Kate's run a marathon. She's a runner like myself. I'll be running the Boston Marathon in about a week from now, 10 days from now. I'm psyched. Yeah, thank you. My 15th. Can't believe it.
Wow.
But that's because I'm, you know, I have all those years behind me, Kate. And you too, if you want, we'll have 15 marathons in,
I don't know.
In your on as your track record when you're my age, if you keep it up, if that's what you want to do. I love running, and I agree with you. The shoe brands, and especially the next, you know, 10 days leading up to the Boston Marathon, watching Saucony or Nike or Brooks or Adidas, we could go on, how they will be tweeting and you know what kind of campaigns they will be coming out with. You know, I was in Boston the other day, and near the Prudential Center, there's this big, I think, I hope I'm not wrong, I believe it is New Balance.
Mm-hmm.
And it says something like, run like a boss, B-O-S.
That's awesome.
So like Boston, you know what I mean? It says, run like a boss or run like boss. And it's just a huge outdoor ad on like the side of the building. I think it's New Balance. If I'm wrong, I will be corrected by somebody, if not myself afterwards when I look it up. But it was just an awesome banner, run like a boss or run like boss. They will do a ton of great campaigns in the next 10 days, all the running-related companies in Boston, of course, with the marathon coming up. Any celebrities, any politicians, dare we go there, who use social media well or not? Dare we go there?
I mean, celebrities, that's kind of a mixed bag sometimes because some of them can get into some, I know some celebrities, like I think it was a few years ago, Adele said that her Twitter was actually taken away from her by her manager because she was putting out some, you know, tweets that they thought might have been inappropriate. But, you know, I think celebrities, a lot of them I do like to follow because I actually like to see what they're sharing. Yeah. And I think that's kind of led the way for influencers to get involved too. And they've been actually the first influencers really to start. And, you know, there hasn't been any real favorites of mine. But I just like to see what's happening out there.
No, I agree. And I love that. I see Twitter headline news almost every day.
Yep.
So I asked you a question I often ask myself, you know, how long will Twitter be around? And I think, you know, right now, I think forever, meaning I don't know what would replace it. And I hope it never goes away because I love seeing it on the news. I think it's the, obviously, number one way of communicating for news outlets, celebrities, athletes. I mean, Tom Brady joined Twitter the other day on April Fool's.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I just love, and whenever something big happens in this world, the way to give a, instead of a traditional press release, or maybe that follows up a day later, but, you know, the instantaneous way to make a statement is a tweet. And I think that is phenomenal, and I love it, and I love the way we communicate nowadays. And again, remember, I'm, you know, old enough to go back, you know, before the internet, and I can't believe how far we've come and how easy it is if you're willing to put in the time and learn these tools and technologies to communicate with each other.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've met people like you first on Twitter.
Yeah, you know? I've made so many great connections just through social media. And then it's funny, you know, I go to a lot of conferences where, you know, you'll get to know each other through social media, and then you have a meetup with those same people. And you're like, we've been talking for 2 years, yet we've never actually met until now. And so it's really fun to actually meet in person.
I agree. Yeah. I think, you know, I try to tell people social media is real. It's not virtual. You know, it's not like this separate online secret double life. It is your life. It's an extension of our lives, and it's how we communicate nowadays. And you know, there are some people that believe most media will be, quote, social media in the future, meaning we'll be able to interact with almost, if we can't already, all forms of media, you know, and that media companies or companies in general putting out any kind of communications will make it two-way and interactive, because it's so important to listen to your audience, as you know, at a video bank.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing is, and that's my biggest point of advice to any brand out there who's looking for social media is, you know, it's not about just shouting what you're doing or what you're offering or who you are. It's also about listening and getting that feedback. And, you know, we analyze our sentiment all the time too, and we benchmark that against other banks that are out there on social media, because you can get some of that data that's out there, which is great. But I think that's important, just to make sure that you're listening. And that's why it's social media. It's not just media.
Yes. Don't forget the social and social media. I think you are doing fantastic at Avidia Bank. I've always been impressed with any of the content I see on social media put out there by Avidia Bank. And I actually did not realize, I mean, again, we've only met once before in person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? We might have talked online. I feel like I know you. Now I really feel like I know you. Meaning before today, I felt like I know you. But after this almost 40-minute long conversation, I've gotten to know you a lot better. But, you know, I'm impressed, Kate.
Thank you.
And keep up the awesome work. And before we wind down, is there anything I haven't covered? You can just throw anything out there if you want.
I don't have anything else really to add. This has been an awesome conversation. And, I look forward to hearing it and sharing it.
Excellent. Thanks, Kate. That's Kate Sweeker from Avidia Bank. And we are at out of office here in Hudson, right down the street, 13 minutes exactly from my home office in Sudbury. And I appreciate all of my listeners. And this has been Bob Cargill with Kate Sweeker. And you've been listening to Bob Cargill's Marketing Show. And I will talk to you again soon.